afternoon, outliers. Happy Eclipse Day, April 8th, year of our Lord 2024. How do I look? Do I look stylish or what? I can't see jack with these. It's literally black in front of me right now. Hang on. I had to do it. It's that kind of day. How are y'all doing? So, in the Discord, I was sharing with y'all my pictures from my backyard, which was super cool. I live in the path of total darkness, so that was really cool. But I got to tell you, I was talking with my parents. So my parents live out on a farm in rural Texas. And so I called them up on the phone, you know, chatting with them, kind of trying to experience it with them as they're out there doing their thing. And I'm here alone. So it was really neat to do that with them. But the very, very, very best possible thing that could have happened did. And I laughed my face off so hard when it happened. We're sitting there. It's dark out. It's like dusk, like right before the sun is like completely gone. There's no light outside. The halo, the corona thing is going on out there. And this little peak of light comes through. I'm talking a peak of sunlight comes through. And like I say, I'm on the phone with my parents. They live out on a farm in rural Texas. And a freaking rooster crows in the background. Cock-a-doodle-doo. And I laugh my face off so hard. Because I'm like, how perfect is that? Right? How perfect is it to have a rooster go off in the background when we get the tiniest sliver of light from the eclipse? So I laughed and laughed and laughed. And yeah, what a special day. Also, had to put on my NASA Texas Johnson Space Center shirt. If y'all don't know, earlier this year, I had the really cool privilege of going with my two sons who are in Boy Scouts, and we actually went to NASA in Houston and did a camp out at NASA Space Center. So that was really cool. So a pretty fun day. Donna's here. Watch Channel is here. Leo is here. Good to see everybody. And good to see all the new faces in the Discord. We have a ton of new people this weekend, which is great because you all took advantage of the Outlier deal, which is gone now, I think. If it isn't gone now, it will be like in a minute. Hang on. OVTLYRDeal.com. Is that still going on or is it over? Oh, you have 9 hours left. If you haven't already bought it, if your friends haven't already bought it, you have 9 hours left. I thought it was actually over with, but 9 hours left. Damien, I'm glad you're here. Yorn, good to see you guys. So yeah, there's 9 hours left of this deal. If you know anybody that hasn't got it, they need to get it, right? To get access to the world's best AI stock trading assistant. So there was a lot of chatter in the Discord. I know I lost track. Jean-Louis had asked the question, hey, Goran. Hey, by the way, Goran, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to kind of talk about, you know, not just jumping into a trade, but being smart, right? Thinking about all the risks associated with the trade and not just blindly buying something. So I really appreciate you, Goran, taking that on, because that's what we try to teach inside the trading room, right? A lot of people don't even watch the trading room, but a lot of people do, right? There are some videos which have over 100 views, which on a daily basis on a live stream is actually pretty awesome. So we want to make sure that more and more people do watch these, because we definitely cover a lot inside of the trading room every day. And of course, everything we do is centered around using Outlier. So Goran, I appreciate you sharing your insights on that as well. But Jean-Louis had a question. I'm going to see if I can roll back and find it. Jean-Louis' handle is the Shark Bluefin Trader. No, that's from last week. There it is. Recently noticed stocks exhibiting low deltas alongside high volumes and high open interests. So I assume he's looking at the options chain when he asks these questions. I'm not 100% sure, but he's exhibiting low deltas with high volumes and high open interest. Have you noticed too? Does this suggest a trend where traders are predominantly selling options rather than buying? If so, what's the potential implications for market direction? Is this a sign of a slightly bearish market outlook? I'm intrigued to hear your perspective. So Jean-Louis, I have not noticed that. If you're watching, let me know which ticker specifically you're looking at. Let's take a look at it together. But I mean, a couple notes here is that I only look for high open interest. I have found volume to be a very unreliable indicator of how many people are actually trading it, right? What I want to see is open interest. If open interest is high, that means people want to trade it. People are actively have orders out there ready to go. So I've found volume to be very unreliable. Like, I don't know. It's one of those indicators where, like, some people may just swear by it, but me, as what I've seen, I can't even see my own orders go through. So it's like, what's the point of even watching it if it doesn't even show up when I put my own order in? So that's my opinion on volume. But I do very closely look at open interest on everything. Now, he was mentioning low deltas alongside high volumes and high open interest. I think that may be a low delta trade with high volume and high open interest. That sounds like a out of the money calls, out of the money puts. But I don't know necessarily if that's more buyers or more sellers. Do consider that every selling, I mean, this is a net zero game, if you want to think of it this way, that every trade, especially when you trade derivatives like options, there is a buyer and a seller for every contract. Those sellers may be market makers. Those buyers may be market makers. But either way, there's always a buyer to seller ratio that's 1-to-1, because you have to have a buyer. That's why I look at open interest, right? If nobody is willing to participate in the trade with me, I don't want to trade it. I've been burned far too many times about that. So a lot of new people in the Discord, which is super cool. And of course, I did want to share, I did change my username to be 10minutetrading_outlier. Reason being is I got to thinking about all of our other, the rest of our team, which you can see all of our team in the About Us section. There's April, Simon, Fernand, myself, Mahesh, and Mark. You can always search like an at symbol and outlier and get one of us. So that makes it a little bit easier. So I should have done that sooner. But either way, if you have a question I didn't cover, please drop it in the chat as we go through. I will not be putting on any trades today, because I don't trust this market right now. So let's jump into our market analysis, and I'll talk about why. I gotta click the right bumper. Gotta click the right bumper. And I gotta open my PowerPoint here. All right, welcome to the Outlier Trading Room. This is how to trade only 10 minutes a day and exactly how to take the guesswork out of trading. Now, I am a partner with Outlier, full disclosure, and this is my style of trading using Outlier, but Outlier delivers you new opportunities every single day. So whenever I'm trading, I always want to look with the market, right? If the market's pushing higher, I don't want to be going short. If the market's pushing lower, I don't want to be going long, right? We want to trade with the market. We want to let the market tell us which direction it's going. So we have the 10 over the 20, price over the 50. Now, that is my criteria for bullish setups. And if you want to go back, like, you can just go back forever and ever and see 10 over 20 over 50 is a bullish trend. All right. So 10 exponential, 20 exponential, 50 exponential. If you're new, that's how I track it. Those are the only moving averages I look at, and basically the only indicator I have other than ATR. ATR down here is the average true range. So how big is each candle, right? How big is each day's move? And so those two things are the only things I put on my charts, except for these green blocks, and there's also purple blocks. Let's see if we can find one. Give me just a second here. I'll show you a purple block. There's a purple block. What are those? Those are called order blocks. Now, that is something that I have found to be tremendously, tremendously valuable in trading. And they really, really, really act as incredible strong support and resistance. This is a great example. So MTN, right? This order block was created in September of 2023. The first time it came into here, support, and it rocketed. The second time it came close, support, rocketed. The third time, up. Fourth time, up. Fifth time, up. That's not a coincidence. So what an order block is these are big institutional orders that are waiting to get filled, right? So they weren't filled out here. That's that open interest we were talking about. Big institutional orders waiting to get filled. And each time MTN came into this area, they got filled. Now think of it on the other end, right? There was someone in the Discord who is mentioning that they bought MTN. I would avoid this right now, big time, because it's coming right into an order block. It's got about $1.38 from where it is right now until it gets up in an order block. And this order block created February 22nd. You can see the first time, the second time it's come into it, it's been rejected. So I would assume that that could be some pretty hard resistance. Now, order blocks do go away, right? They go away when price closes on the other side of it, like out here, okay? But in the meantime, whenever I see an order block on my chart, I avoid it. Unless it's got some room, right? If it has some room and it's like maybe it's got 3-5% or so, well, I'll trade it up to that order block. So that is one thing to keep in mind and why I won't be trading MTN. So let's go through the next step here. 10 over 20, price over the 50. We do have that. But I did add a note just last week because I wanted to be entirely clear. If it closes under the 20, wait to put on new trades until it closes over the 10 EMA again. We're talking about the SPY. You can see it's flirting with that 10 EMA right now. I mean, it's 50 cents, 40 cents above it. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that the trend is back because it is really that close. So I'm going to sit it out today. I'm going to think risk first today because I'm not convinced that this market is ready to rip and roll. And, you know, you can also look at outlier data, right? We got an outlier sell signal back on the S&P a while ago, and it has not given me a lot of confidence at this point that, hey, we've broken the first 20 EMA for the first time in, like, how many months? Since January was the last time we broke the 20 EMA, which it did go higher. That doesn't mean it's gonna, right? So I will not be trading today because of this. Now, I do want to take a look at what came through on the outlier list today. Whenever I look to trade, I look to trade on the bull list if I'm going long, bear list if I'm going short. There's a really, really handy tool right here. If you pop this open once it loads, probably do it right now while it loads, yeah. You've got a lot more extra data here. And by the way, Mahesh said in the Discord, we should have an upgrade Wednesday or Thursday this week. So we'll have additional resources in here. Because one thing we wanted to do was filter by high volume stocks. So that should be coming here in the next couple of days. Hey, Nathan, glad you're here. Brian, good afternoon, my friend. So you can look, I like to look at the bull list and then I like to add in the green uptrend overlay. What is a green uptrend overlay? That tells you whenever you're looking at outlier, hey, is this stock trending up? Right? Is it trending upward or is it trending down? Right? I only want to see stocks that are already showing strength. Now, there's a lot of stocks on here that you could look for the red overlays, and the reversals have been crazy. I noticed I've been doing a lot of backtesting on this. But the way that I trade, the way that I'm comfortable with trading, because I don't like to buy something that's a falling knife, I like to see the stock moving upward first. So we've got a handful that pulled through today. How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that pulled through today. Let's go look at each one of those. So STAR, I don't know anything about this. STAR Surgical Company looks really strong, right? It's trending higher. It's pushing up. Let's run the back test on it. The back test is something I came up with, and it's ultra simple. It's just how is price above or below the 10 EMA. So the 10 is the blue line. If it closes above the 10, what's the historical results? And using the 10 as the exit point, what's the historical results? 25% is pretty sweet. That's a positive expectancy. We can go over to STAR's outlier data here. And then pop open performance summary. Oh, sweet. 68.35% historical returns using outlier. And it definitely handily beats buy and hold 39.93. Either way, that's still good. So STAR looks pretty cool. Like I say, I'm just not going to trade today. I'm going to wait until the market kind of proves itself. NWG also has a strong trend, really strong back test, but I'm a stock snob. I only trade things that are 20 bucks or more, and so I wouldn't even be looking at NWG. But since we're here, let's show you guys. And performance summary, 15%. That'll work. That's a positive expectancy. I don't need a big hurdle. I just want to see positive expectancy. MTN, we talked about a minute ago, has an order block, so I'd avoid that. It also has a negative backtest for me. LYB also has a negative backtest. Now, when I say negative backtest, that's my chart backtest. That's not the outlier result. That's my backtest using the 10 as an entry and exit point. And then HPE also has a negative backtest and is right inside of an order block. So, I mean, if I were to even look at anything, it would just be STA today. But Chris will not be trading. So that's going to... Hey, Brian being cool in the chat. I want to spend a couple minutes talking about backtesting, right? Mahesh gave me literally every buy and sell signal ever. And so I spent a lot of time on this. It doesn't look like a whole lot right here, but I probably manually backtested about maybe close to 100. I also did a lot of backtesting using data, and I found some pretty interesting conclusions. Number one conclusion was cutting it off at G13, cutting a trade off at G13 helps a lot with the win rates. I don't have data to show you right now what the number is, but it does help with win rates, but at the sacrifice of occasionally missing a big trade. So what do I mean by G13? Down here is our behavioral heat map, which I love. I use this frequently. So if we looked at NWG, well, let's look at STA. That was the only one I liked today. If we look at STA and look up at this line right here, as I go through it, you'll see it updates. Shows today's date, the closing price, the uptrend overlay, if there is one, the heat map value, and then the signal. So today it shows buy. It doesn't have a close price yet because today hasn't closed yet. So this shows a G20 value. So the ranges go from G0 to G50 and R0 to R50. So like down here, R38s or so, that's deep fear category, deep fear. Let's see, even deeper down here, R46, that's almost the maximum fear. So that's deep fear readings, whereas this could be moderate greed readings. So one thing that I found was, and Mark also backed this up using the data, which was really cool that we could do this, where everybody could see, was that G13 seemed to be about that crossover point. G13 right here seemed to be the crossover point where the bulk of the buy signals came and were decently reliably tradable, I should say. Now, anything over G13 still is good, right? These are still good signals, but I don't give them as much trust as I give something that's before G13 because the greed factor is getting really high. And the room to run is a lot less, if you want to consider it that way. So my takeaway was getting out of G13, which originally my plan was G15. So it was cool to see my data get really close at G13 or plus 10. Now, this is something that I picked up looking at some of these. And I'll show you what I mean by some of these on the back test. Plus 10 when it's over G13. So, for example, this one right here. Yeah. If I were getting in this trade, I would set my sell into strength category here 10 points higher. So if I got in where it's G20, I would look to sell if it hit G30. That doesn't necessarily guarantee anything, of course. I'll be the first person to tell you that I can't guarantee you winners. But I can guarantee you, you know, keeping your risk tight and letting your winners run wildly out of control when we get them. Go back over here. But at the sacrifice of occasionally missing a big trade. So let me show you what I mean by that. So these that I've highlighted in light teal are like perfect trade examples. And this in orange would have actually shown right here that getting out at G13 would not have benefited us in this case. But so far what I've seen is that it's worth taking the winners sooner than hoping and praying that everyone just turns into a huge runaway winner, because we can't control that. So let's go to AAON. And so here on the chart, this was the buy signal on February 5th. The sell signal came on March 1st. Now, as you can see, 10 over 20, price over 50, that should be a common occurrence for you. And I'm just going to make this a little bit easier to read. A G13 exit, so going from whatever it was before, let's zoom in. G0. So getting in at G0 and getting out at G13 was a pretty strong result here. 13% move, $9 on the stock. And you can see at no point did it close below the prior day's low or close below the 10. I can't stress this enough. That is so important, right? If the 10 is broken, the trend is not beautiful. If it's closing below the prior day's low, it's not a great trend. That's what I mean by, and why I highlighted these, is exactly what a trend should look like. Now, on this candle here, it did close below the prior day's low. But keep in mind, the G13 exit, February 12th, going to February 12th right there, it was G15, so G13 or greater, right? Because the day before it was G10, and then it went to G15. So that would have been an exit signal for me. So with that said, it actually was a really solid return. Got us out a little bit before this pullback here. And then again, I circled another candle that closed below the prior day's low. So those would have been two exit points had I not already gotten out here. And then the actual end point was $11 up versus $9 up. And I got out at 5 candles later versus 18 candles later. So getting out 3 weeks sooner and getting 80% of this entire move right here between the buy and sell signal. So getting in, getting our cash, getting out. That's what I wanted to show with that one. So I like this. Now, there are times like this one here, AAP, where getting out at G13 did not prove useful. In fact, it really ran a lot higher after getting out at G13. So there is a trade-off here, right? This can help with the win rates. It can help with turnover, getting into new trades. But on occasion, you're going to miss one of these giant moves, right? Let's go to AAP real quick. So this one started at G7, ran without slowing down, all the way up to G44. So real deep in the greed territory, and then got a sell signal. So it went from $69 all the way up to $85. So really strong move, 23% move, whereas my move would have been 4.5. So I will say that this conclusion, number one, cutting off at G13 or plus 10 helps a lot with win rates, but occasionally the sacrifice of missing huge giant wins like that. And you know what? I'm okay with that because I can probably get 10, 15, 20 of these turnovers here for each one that I'm waiting on. Right. And there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that those will come. Now, G13 is an optimal exit point. Is starting below there. Exiting 10 points higher is a strong exit signal if entering at or above G13. Now, one other thing that I noticed was if it stalls or goes down, right? So if the G value stops or goes down, which should be here, heat map goes down one shade. Yeah, I could probably tweak this. If it stalls or reverses, that is also a get out of the way signal. Let me show you what I mean by that. ABT. So this signal came on February 28th. All right, so February 28th, that was the buy signal. Inside of a green overlay, started at G21, as you can see on the chart, G21 again. So it immediately stalls. G21 a third day, immediately stalled. G21 a fourth day, fifth day. Is this even updating? Sixth day. What I'm trying to say is it ran up to G21 on the heat map, on the greed factor and then stopped. That was this candle here. The following candle, it stopped, right? So this was a solid exit point here, right? Of course, not a winning candle, but keeping your risk really tight before the reversal. Look at this. Look at this big reversal here. So it was kind of like a warning. Hey, if it does not continue to push higher on the heat map, this was the real takeaway here. If it doesn't continue to push higher up on the heat map, that is a warning signal. Huge warning signal. So even if it has not hit G13, or even if it has not hit 10 points higher, if it's going up and then stalls, to me, that is a very clear get out while you can signal. Now, it doesn't always mean there's going to be huge reversals, because there were a few. Like this one here, AIG. Hope you guys don't mind data, because I love me some data. So when I say that, like, I love this, I probably did 5 hours Friday, 8 hours Saturday, 6 hours Sunday, 2 hours this morning, and I loved every moment of it. This is my jam. All right, so AIG. So February 27th was the buy signal here. Started at G16, ran. G26 could have been a solid exit point on March 6th here, right? Solid exit point right there. I would have gotten out on this candle because it was a close below the prior day's low anyway. So I actually would have made a little bit extra funds, a little bit extra profit versus here because it got 10 points higher, okay? 10 points on the fear and greed, continues to push higher, and then stalls at 33. So it doesn't have to immediately stall, right? It can stall later on. Stalled at 33 on March 18th. So basically at this point here, it's stalled, okay? The heat map no longer got higher, and then it's basically gone sideways ever since. It's got a little bit higher. We're talking from like 76 to 77 versus 71 up to 76. So much bigger move. And basically at the end of the day, here were my major takeaways. A G13 exit or 10 points higher, solid trading plan. G13 is an optimal exit point if starting below that point, right? So G12 or less with a buy signal with everything else setting up. Exiting 10 points higher if entered above, at or above G13. So if the signal came and it says G14, a 10 point higher exit point, totally makes sense. Now there are some that'll continue on, but you're going to be turning them over a lot faster, sacrificing the occasional big winner for a lot more opportunities for wins here. And then lastly, if and when it stalls at any point, G0, G74, which couldn't happen, G34, any point it stalls, take off the trade. So I thought that was really interesting. So I'm going to bake these into my trading plan and start trading with that once I start trading again. But I'm not going to be trading today because I don't trust the market right now until it starts coming up a bit higher. You can see actually right now it's kind of sold off since we've been chatting here. And now it's about to be back under the 10. So thank you all so much for allowing me to share my data conclusions with you. I love this so much, and I'm really glad to have you as part of Outlier. Of course, please feel free to hit me up inside the Discord. Be sure to tag me, because sometimes we get so many messages going on in the Discord now that if you don't tag me, I may not see it. But if you tag me, I should be able to go and filter on things that I'm tagged on. But I'm here to help you. I want to make you as successful as possible. I was chatting with, I believe it was Randall, over the weekend. Let me go to my messages here. Yeah, I was chatting with Randall over the weekend. And one thing I told him was like, look, I am a partner in Outlier. And I want this to be as successful as possible. And I have a very vested interest in this, in making my trading as successful as possible using Outlier. I put my money where my mouth is. And I'm glad that I can do that with you here inside the trading room, because I want you to be incredibly successful. Well, thank you all so much for coming to today's trading room. I'll see you right back here tomorrow. Talk soon.